Welcome everyone. It is April 18th, and this is a lesson from Alexander Yanai. It's number 170, and it's called Lifting the Head on the Diagonal. However, I think an easier way to remember it is, because it's one of the few lessons where you pull your hair. So we could say, lengthening the spine via pulling the hair, as a funny title. Yeah, we do a little bit of using the hair as a guideline at the end. But more importantly, with our series, what it's doing, how it fits into our series, is our meta theme of how we use push through the feet or some sort of use of the pelvis to gain length through the spine. And we've been working that idea on the belly for the last two lessons. This one's primarily on the back. So with that being said, could you please just be on your back and check in with your contact to the floor. Let's use the floor as our kinesthetic mirror tonight and just do a pretty detailed scan, because you may find that things change. So could you put your attention in one leg and notice which leg that goes to, and feel, how is it that you rest the heel on the ground tonight? What's the orientation of the foot? Where is it pointing? And do you feel any part of the ankle on the floor, or is it raised up there? And then in the calf, how does that rest on the floor? And as you draw your attention up the leg, how's your knee? And when I say knee to you, where do you feel your knee? The back of your knee, the inside, the kneecap, the outside of the knee. What's the knee for you, and how is it on this side? And is there any contact at all underneath the thigh? Or is it like a suspension bridge, which is just lightly suspended over the floor? Or do you actually have contact underneath the thigh somewhere? And then feel the area of the pelvis on that side. So the condition of the hip, the condition of how your pelvis is lying. And then put your attention into the other leg. And again, start with the heel. And just recognize that this heel may lie very differently than the first. The orientation of the foot. Is there more work in this foot or less work in this foot? What's the ankle like? And then the calf. Where's the pressure on this calf as it contacts the floor? And the condition of this knee. What does your knee feel like tonight? What's the back of it like? How released and open is the back portal of the knee or not? And again, check in with if you have any contact underneath the thigh, or if that suspends. And how does your leg join into your pelvis? The hip joint, that area, how is that? And if you check in just with your pelvis, feel the sacrum. Is there more weight bearing on one side of your pelvis than the other? Or do you feel one part of your tailbone or sacrum being more jagged or pointy than the other, more pressing in? Feel the low back. Most of us, when we lie with our legs long, have a little bit of an arch in our low back. So there'll be an area where you don't have contact. Feel where's the last area you have contact. And then there is like a little suspension bridge. And then, boom, you go to some place where you have more contact. Can you feel those two areas? So trace it again. Somewhere your pelvis has contact. And then you leave the floor. And then you meet the floor again, and these aren't point contacts. These are usually far more than just one spot, right? Feel the higher up place, somewhere in the mid back where you regain floor contact. Do you regain it more on the right, or do you regain it more on the left? So So you're in the vicinity of your rib cage and your mid back. What's the difference right and left? Does one side lean heavier? Is the shape of one side different? And know that you're three-dimensional and this is the backside of your chest or your torso. And keep going up with that. Feel the area between the shoulder blades. And let your attention be drawn into one shoulder blade and feel how it lies on the floor. Feel how that entire arm lies on the floor. Go into your other shoulder blade. Feel the contours, the pressure. How is the second shoulder blade a little bit different? And how does that arm orient itself and lie on the floor? So somewhere in the vicinity of the mid-back and the shoulder blades, you probably have contact. If you go back to your center line, you'll again leave contact because our neck arch has no contact. So feel as you trace yourself up, there'll be a place again with no contact. And then the back of your head will regain contact. So feel the back of your head. Most of us don't put our head anywhere near in symmetry. And that's okay. Just feel where it is. Good. Okay. So that's a contact scan. So there you are. One whole big print on the floor. We'll come back to that at the end of the lesson to feel how that changes. And it's going to change as soon as we move. So let's do this. Let's bring both knees up and stand the feet on the floor. Knees are oriented somewhere to the ceiling. And as soon as you do that, the spinal curves have changed and the contact has changed. Now, spread your feet apart so that your knee can easily balance over your foot and you don't have to make a lot of work for that to happen. Let's do a movement of pushing through the right foot so that you lift the right hip. And that will make your pelvis roll a little bit so that it presses more clearly on the left area. And where it will press is somewhere around the left waist or where your belt might go. So go ahead and very gently pressing through the right foot, lifting the right hip, and weight bearing or pressing via this movement, it leans you. You actually don't press, you press the foot. But you'll find that the left side just sort of leans more on the floor as you do that. And then the pelvis can come back to neutral as you release the pressure through your foot. So the movement is done many times. That's it. And really feel the area of the belt receive contact through the pressing of the foot, the lifting of the right hip. That's lovely. And I love how you guys are doing it very slowly so that you're tracking information. Does the other leg interfere? Is it busy doing something that doesn't help you? And if you identify it doing something that doesn't help you, see if you can refine that. And not do that. And the way you'll know is the movement gets lighter and easier, simpler. Good. Rest. Bring your legs down long. Let's try that same movement, but now we're going to leave the left leg long. So just bend the right leg up. Find a place for the foot, and you can continue to refine where you want to put that right foot, where the movement becomes simplest. So here you are, just pressing through the foot, lifting the right hip, and letting that turn your pelvis. It turns your whole self eventually over to the left a little bit. And you can play with how big you want that movement, explore it. What does it feel like? And how can you let the left side of you not interfere? So track your left leg and see if it can ride the response of the movement without trying to help or do something or interfere. Do you have your right foot where you like it? Could you put your right foot in a place that would be bad? It would make it harder. And do it kind of where it's harder. It's not so ideal. And find another place where you think, oh, this probably won't be ideal. Now, some of you may be surprised and you'll find, oh, actually it got easier. So you never know what's going to happen. But you're just putting it in a different place. And then eventually, you're going to narrow it down to where you like it. And it may not be where you think it should be. That doesn't matter. You go by feel. You go by trusting your internal experience of the event. Good. Please rest yourself. We tend to be busy in the back, the low back. We tend to be very busy in the belly. We tend to be busy between the thighs. We tend to be busy in the deep hip rotators. This is a really interesting movement to find out how to drop out some of that extra work that basically is not helping organize a movement. It's just interference. Notice how you're lying. Can you sense a change? And where do you sense the change? And what is it that you identify? Let's go back to having both knees up now. You're going to continue pressing through the right foot to lift the right hip. Now we're back to the very first position where we had both knees up. And let's see how that is now for you. See if it's changed. Look for some of that. Is it simpler? Does your left leg now know not to interfere a little bit more? Is it a little more refined? Does your right leg know more how to power this movement? Are you pressing that left belt down or letting it lean? Are you breathing? Good. Please take a rest. Could you take your left arm and raise it overhead so the back of your knuckles will be somewhere on the ground? So you just lengthen it over your head. Take your right knee and bend it again. And do a movement where again you lift your right hip and your pelvis tilts over to the left. And continue that. Now you have your arm overhead and just start to do a movement in that fashion. As you do this movement, can you let your head roll and turn it to the left? So many times, lifting the hip. You can really lift the hip a few times quite high to see what it's like to transfer the leaning more onto the left. Now, could you please put the right hand behind your head? But do it in the following way. If you turn your head and you look to the left. When your hand goes behind your head, you will encounter your ear, your left ear. So you won't really be holding your head at the back of the skull, but more from behind, catching the ear. So your head is turned to the left all the time. And you're just holding your head in that fashion. And go ahead and lift the hip, the right hip, many times and just feel how that is. Keep your head always turned to the left. Mm-hmm. Now, the next time you lift your hip, stay there for a moment with it lifted and raise your head so that your right ear goes up. As your hip is lifted, you raise your head, you put your head down, and you put your hip down. So we're going to combine those two movements of lifting the hip and raising the head, and then putting both of those places down. It makes you bend a little bit. You lift the head. Don't strain yourself. But your hand is coming from behind your head, contacting somewhere that left ear, and then you lift it up whilst your head is looking left. So the head really always stays in the orientation to the left. And feel free to really roll onto that left side as you do that. That may help matters. Lift the head. Not just rolling the head, it's lifting it. Goes away from the left hand, goes away from the floor. That's it. Yes. Funny movement, funny idea of bending. Gently, gently, no wrenching necks, okay? Because you can, you know, it's a very demanding position for your neck. So you're going to see if your neck. Go ahead and rest. People need to rest while I chat, and then we'll do this again. But if your neck maximizes out, right, and you'll feel that by sort of a noxious stretch feeling, you know, it won't feel so great, right? That means at that point, if you keep pulling on your head to lift it, you're sort of at an end point. You're banging against a wall, and all you will have tomorrow is a sore neck. So that means you need to back off of that, and you need to follow the chain of your spine lower and incorporate lower to help lift the head, which is actually what Moshe is asking for some of that. So it's not just to, you know, pull your neck around. Okay, let's try that combination again. So your left arm is overhead. You're looking to the left, so your head is oriented left. You take the right hand from behind your head and you contact that left ear somewhere and you lift the right foot is on the floor, right knee is bent. You push through the right foot to lift the hip. As you do so, your weight shifts a little bit over to the left and you lift the head. Mm-hmm. You find how you can bend your torso. How you can soften and bend the torso to make this happen. And if you hold your breath, it will stiffen your torso. So sometimes you need to, when you're learning this, make it on an exhale so that you have some softening in the chest or in the torso. And rest when you need to. Very nice. Everybody, please rest. Both knees up again so your feet stand. You can feel the contact of the feet with the floor. Mm-hmm. Feel the contact in the back of your pelvis. We're going to go back to the very first step, but now we're changing the right and left side. So now we're pressing through the left foot. No, both knees are going to stay up. Left foot is going to press, and you're going to lift the left hip and let your right belt area lean more into the floor as the hip lifts, and then put the hip down. So find out how this side goes. And we're back to tracking the simplicity of the movement. So, how can you do it so that the foot knows where to be to press, so that the hip lifts simply and you feel the weight of the pelvis lean more towards the right belt? And are you interfering with your belly and your back and your waist? Something needs to happen there, a certain movement. So are you doing more than is necessary for the movement? Or can you be quiet and just let what's necessary for the movement happen? Can you track that? Good. Rest yourself. Every time you rest, you get a chance to actually rest. Meaning that you may find certain places that aren't resting. Then you give it the cue to rest, and something actually stops going on. So what does that mean when you say, I'm taking a rest? There's a difference between just stopping the movement and the intention of resting. So we're just delineating that a little bit. Checking in, scanning, resting. Sensing yourself. Let's leave the right leg long and just pick up the left leg. Bend it, put the foot standing. And again, begin to lift that left hip, letting the pelvis turn, shift somehow, lifts and shifts, however that is for you. Continue to just refine where you want to put that left foot and how you want to go about lifting the left hip. How the right side allows and does what's necessary, but no more. Nothing extra. Can you feel the change in pressure? And track that change in pressure. Both on the way up and on the way down. Good. Let that end. Rest your legs. Let's bring both knees up. I'm going to have you alternate. You're going to press through one foot, press through the other foot. So lift one hip, then lift the other hip. Just, again, make it simple. Make it enjoyable. feel where you want to put the feet. Maybe they need to be wider. So it's not so much a tilting of the knees as it is a pressing through one foot to lift. The knees may tilt, but the feet, the pressing foot stands, you know, otherwise it can't press. If it's rolled all the way towards the inner border or rolled all the way out to the outer border, it can't really integrate with the floor to make a force. Uh-huh. Good. Can you do this movement a little lighter, a little quicker, a little sloshy? As you do it lighter, quicker, sloshier, can you track your chest and your shoulder blades? And how does that affect the shoulder blades? Rest when you need to. Good. Everybody take a rest. Allow your right leg to stay long and take your right arm overhead. Bend your left leg. Now, do the motion where you lift your left hip up and let your head turn to look to the right as you do that. Find that motion for a few moments. How could this lifting of your hip allow the entire spine to turn and the head to orient? As if you want something over on that right side, so you would look to the right to see it. And let your head be in such a way that your head can stay oriented to the right. Something over there that is nice to look at. Good. Now take your left hand and put it behind your head, and you'll find that you'll catch your right ear. That's it. Now every time you lift the hip, also lift the head with the help of your left arm. Your head is not lifting in the central plane at all. It's turned to the right, and yeah. The hip at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. Stop. Lift the hip, then lift the head.
No, it ends up being eventually at the same time. So your ear, your left ear, goes kind of towards that left hip. You know, goes up. That's lovely. And notice, as that happens, as you lift the head, do you notice your right shoulder blade receives pressure? Just notice that. The left shoulder blade receives no pressure because it's lifting, but the right shoulder blade receives some pressure. That's good. And rest. Now, let's take the right leg and have the right leg bent at the knee so the foot stands. Good. We're going to take the right arm overhead. Please turn your head so you're oriented to the right. Take the left hand, place it behind the head, and you'll encounter your right ear. Mm-hmm. So notice that your right ear is down to the floor, and your left ear would be facing the ceiling, more or less, but we'll call that forward or ahead. You're going to lift your head again so that left ear comes up. So just a few times, just lift the head. In this configuration, just lift the head. Notice that the left shoulder blade will start to peel off the ground, and you'll bear a little more weight or lean a little bit more on the right shoulder blade as you do this, as your chest makes this diagonal idea. Okay, now here's the idea. You're going to lift the right hip whilst you raise your head in this manner, so that both the hip and the head will be lifting. And then you place your head and your hip down. It's a kind of crazy kind of bending and folding. It's actually not so crazy, but when you first do it, it seems, almost impossible, and yet it's not. Your head always stays oriented to that left side. That's it. Lift the hip, lift the hip. The hip lifts. Good. And rest when you need. Gently release the head. So, Moshe talks a lot. I shouldn't say a lot, but maybe I just flag it a lot, about what it means to have a well-organized belly. And he's a really big fan of being able to breathe in any contortion and to be able to actually move one's spine, belly, core, pelvis, whatever you want to call it, in many, many directions. So his idea of a strong core or a strong belly is that you can do what you want to do and move it powerfully in a lot of directions. So come up here. I'm going to show you a little demo with a piece of paper. Those of you who are listening on tape or on CD, internet, here's what's happening. I have a little piece of paper that's it's like the size of an envelope, like a gift card envelope. So we're going to pretend this is my thing. You may not conceive of it like this, but I'm going to share my conception of it, and then you see if it's useful for you. Let's pretend that the four corners, shoulder blade, pelvis or hip, right? So in that last configuration, I'm putting a pen on the diagonal for those who are listening to it. Actually, in that last configuration, we were like this, right? You're lifting that shoulder blade up with the head going this way, and you're lifting the hip going this way. What you're left with is the diagonal, right? It's not, of course, we have a spine that doesn't exactly act like a piece of paper, but basically that configuration is that. And it's the same thing also as twisting my pen. One side goes one way, one side goes the other way. It's like wringing out a washcloth too. But in this, we're actually folding together. So let's go back and do that configuration. And maybe that gives you a sense. There is a diagonal line, both in the pieces that are picking up and the pieces that are weight-bearing on the ground. So that may help the movement seem less foreign. We're going to repeat exactly what we just did. So that's with your right leg bent. Are you cold, Maggie?
I'm cold.
Yeah? Do you want me to put the heat on?
I don't.
Okay. Well, if your jacket's interfering, you let me know. I'll put the heat on, okay? Okay. So your right leg is bent. Your right arm is overhead. You're looking and orienting towards the right. Your left hand is behind your head, catching your ear. Which ear is it? Your right ear, right? Okay. So you're going to lift your head and the hip at the same time, aiming the ear and the hip together. Or one can think of it as peeling your left shoulder blade off, weight bearing more on your right shoulder blade, peeling your right hip up, weight bearing more on your left shoulder blade. Notice you have this long diagonal with the long leg and the long arm overhead. So that's what I was demonstrating with my pen. That's somehow there is some sort of thing, not exactly like my pen, but there's some sort of weight-bearing line and you're folding around it. Uh-huh. And your head is in this odd place. Please don't wrench your neck. It's more about, can you get the shoulder blade to do its thing? Can you, i.e., contort the chest? That's nice. It starts to feel a little less foreign as you play with it. You may need a rest. Rest, everyone. We have a great deal of rotation within the hips. We have almost no rotation in the lumbar spine, 5 degrees total. We have rotation again in the thoracic spine. And this is targeting a lot of that thoracic spine. There are segments for all of us, I think, in our thoracic spine that just like never rotate, or they always chunk with the one above or whatever. That's why this feels so foreign and so like a puzzle. Like, how could you even think that this movement? It's just because we haven't really learned how to differentiate. So think of that in that spirit. You're just sort of doing something that's very foreign. It's got a lot of constraints. And you're learning different pressures, small little nuances. You're not wrenching. You're just curious as to, oh, what about that rib? Or, oh, if I do, okay. You know, stuff like that. Very gentle. And yet it's somewhat of a powerful movement with the belly muscles, for sure. Okay, let's switch the sides. So now you will be with your left foot standing in your left arm overhead. You will turn your head to orient to the left side, so your left ear will be more towards the floor. You'll catch that left ear with your right hand from behind your head, not from above, but from behind. And then maybe leave your pelvis quiet for a moment and just see if you can peel up the head and the right shoulder blade and weight bear and lean a little bit more on the left shoulder blade. Just see if that's a possibility. That's sort of that diagonal fold. And then if you have that going, you can introduce the idea of lifting the hip at the same time. So one has to, it's like a delicate balance of flavors in a stew, right? You can't add too much salt, right? How much hip, how much head, right? Makes it possible. So that one doesn't overpower the other, but somehow they coalesce into a unified movement. And you pay attention to how the weight is and how you're delicately moving your neck. Uh-huh. And yet you are lifting your head. Excellent. Good. Rest. It's pretty demanding. So let that go. Rest. See how you are lying down. Roll the head a little bit. Often it's amazing at how this movement can allow your head to be freer in terms of rolling and turning. And just give that all up and just take a rest on your back. Feel how you are. Bend your knees up again and place your feet standing. You can place them in a very stable position, which may be a little wider than you think. I want you all to play with wide. And then you'll get too wide and you'll go, oh, that's too wide, right? But you'd be amazed in this position. Many of us think that the feet should be right parallel with the hip joints. And that would be the most stable position. And it's not the same as standing. This is a different position. So you go through feel. And Falk is actually doing the movement that we're going to do, which is pressing through the feet in a way that makes the top of the head lengthen. So can you all find the top of your head for a moment? Just with your hand. Just feel. Good. And take your hand away a little bit. So if you make a little push through the feet, it's not lifting the pelvis in the air, and yet something happens with the pelvis, as if you were a turtle and you wanted to grow your head out of its shell. Good. So that's the movement. So here's where the hair comes in. I want you to take either hand from behind your head. One's kind of near one ear, one's kind of near the other ear, but it's sort of from behind the head. It's not exactly where your head's weight-bearing on the floor, but behind. And grab a hunk of hair on either side. Okay? And then you're going to pull your hair to give yourself the direction of lengthening the head. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to press through the feet. You're going to lift the head a little bit and lengthen the head. So you do actually lift the head off of the floor a little bit, but you find the trajectory that gives you length. And you pull the hair a little bit to give you the direction. Yeah, you're going to have to fiddle around with where you want to pull the tufts of hair. Uh-huh. Good. And then you put the head down. So it's like you're giving yourself your own functional integration here. Right? How can you let the whole spine skewer in a way? It like slides and lengthens the top of your head. That's excellent. Some of you really have it nicely done. Good. And rest for a moment. So this next portion of the lesson, Moshe is after something that is pretty subtle. But it's easy to learn if you just know how you're looking for it. So we're not lifting the head like we're doing a sit-up, right? We're not getting the head to the horizon, and yet it may lift. But it lifts in the service of continuing to lengthen the spine. So you find that trajectory. And what he's after is, can we reduce the parasitic tension within the neck musculature? Because when you get your spine in this idea of lengthening, all of your vertebral musculature parasitic movement reduces. Not only in the neck, but the neck's a big one. So here's what he... Mostly the back extensors. Mostly the back. But within the neck a lot of people have a lot in the front as well. So, yeah, yeah. It's probably, now that I think about it, focus probably all around. So, like the center, the whole center core. Okay, so here's the deal. Bend your knees up. And could you take your hands again from behind the head, grab the hair on either side of the ears or somewhere around that vicinity, and if you pull more with the right hand, it will let your head orient to the left. So as you lengthen and you push through your feet and you lengthen, could you ask your head to orient a little bit to the left as you pull a little more with your right hand? So see if that will make sense. If you could just kind of spin your head a little bit by pulling more with that right hand. And then, but lengthening, that's it. And then you have to put your head down and you rest. So you're always in the service of lengthening, but now you're changing the orientation of your head. Because we do that all the time. We want to see something. So it's not exactly a tilt. It's more a turning of the head. Okay, rest for a moment. Who would allow me to demo with them? Raise your hand so I know. Okay, so come over here with Patty. How do you just stay down? So, by the way, there's another thing that goes on in this, is that when you're doing this with your head, the cue is equal pressure with the feet. So how can you do equal pressure lengthen the spine, and yet, oh, she wants to look that way, right? Right? Because we do that all the time, right? So he's just really trying to teach us to do an odd awareness through movement so that we will get the idea of how we can be over both feet and yet still orient the head. It doesn't always have to be midline. Okay, so she does her thing. She has this hair that is amazing. She's my good demo with all her hair. Right. So you're like...
Don't pull it out.
It's a guidance system, the hair. Okay, so when... I'm just going to actually hold her head for a moment. It'll be easier for her. But when she lengthens, if you just pull a little bit more, it's like a turning like that, still giving her the length. It's not necessarily a cocking of the ear to the shoulder. Okay? If you're pulling your hair from the side of your head or too far forward, it will ask you to cock. But what Moshe is after is, can the head lengthen and turn? Right? It's not really cocking side to side.
So cocking and tilting.
Like tilting. The ear...
Like a negative, kind of has like a negative.
Well, you know, people say that, oh, dogs cock their head. Or, oh, in my photo, my head was cocked to the left. That's what I mean. That's why I'm saying, I don't mean negative. Just tilting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just not really that much of a tilt. It's more just a change in orientation. You do, because otherwise there's no break in friction. So you have to figure out how do I lift the head and get my length? Where's that orientation? How high do I lift it to get my push length? But the idea is that it's kind of the whole thing is skewering out of its, right? We're skewering the spine and sending the top of the head up, and it will go a little towards the ceiling, but not like a sit up.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really the whole idea. So it depends on where you hold your hair a little bit, giving yourself that idea. And just imagine if someone, like you saw me with Patty's head, if someone were just like lengthening your head and turning it a little bit, right? Boom. And I'm giving myself that idea. You're just doing it on your own. Okay? So go back and give that a try. Thank you, Patty. So now, having seen that, you may want to try turning your head the other way. But it's always coupled with pressure equally through the feet, because that is going to give you that upward thrust, which is sort of the whole idea, right? Uh-huh. So it's very subtle what Feldenkrais is asking for. It's lengthening. These are small things. This whole series is about this idea of this little idea of lengthening, right? It's traction. That's a PT word you'll recognize. It's traction, basically. It's getting the angle of traction correct. Uh-huh. And you can play around with different places that you might want to guide your hair. Good. Once you've played with turning it to the other way, can you go back to see if you can go completely central? So again, lengthen and pull equally and do equally through your feet, which is actually an extremely interesting concept, because most of us don't know how to do equal, or we don't really know midline. And every time we refine midline and center, it helps the nervous system and helps all movement. Not that we stay there, but to know where it is. Good, good. Okay, rest, everyone. Let your legs go down. Let us go back to having the right leg up, the right arm overhead. Orient your head so you're looking to the right. Right ear down closer to the floor. Left arm catches from behind the head, has the ear. The movement now of lifting the left ear and the right hip closer together. Back to that funny movement we did a few times ago. And just see if as you do this, you can think of folding, but at the same time lengthening. So it's the same kind of movement, and yet the nuance may be different. You just lengthened your head when it was turned. So see, here, how is that? As you lift the head, does that something shorten and crunch, or do you have a lengthening idea somewhere? Feel that diagonal. The abdominal muscles work very strongly on that diagonal in this movement. Good. You may need to rest. And if so, do so. Release your head. Are you okay with your jacket on, or should I put the heat on? You're good now? Okay. In the lesson as it's written in the material, Moshe asks you to compare the side that's the diagonal that's long, the one that was acting like the pen on my paper, and see which one's quieter. So when you do it on the other side, let's feel that. Take your left leg, bend it up, left arm overhead, orient towards the left, so the left ear is a little more on the ground. Right hand catches behind that ear. You lift the left hip and the head, right ear to left hip. And pay attention to what happens with the long diagonal, the weight bearing or the leaning on the left shoulder blade and the right hip, and the spaces in between. And is it quiet? His contention, as he wrote in the lesson, was that on one side you'll be able to fold a little bit like I demonstrated on the paper, and on one side you won't do the twist, you'll roll. There'll be much more rolling, less actual differentiated twist and more rolling. So maybe we can compare side to side for that. See what's different from one side to the other. Give this up and change sides. Excuse me. So when you change the sides, the right knee is up, the right foot stands, the right arm is overhead. You orient your head so you're looking to the right ear is on the ground or towards the floor. Left hand comes back from behind the head and catches the ear. And you lift now your left ear to your right hip. You lift that right hip by pressing through the floor. Yes. Yeah, it's easier than it was the first time we did it, isn't it? Maybe you're wrenching your neck less. Something in the torso softening. Pay attention. Don't work hard, but pay attention. Imagine, hallucinate the idea. And rest if you need to. Just give it up and rest. See how your neck is, your head. Let's do one more pulling the hair, and we'll do it in the following way. Can you simply bend your left foot up? Leave your right one long. And then just grasp again, right and left, tufts of hair from behind the head, near the ears, somewhere back there. And can you just push through the left foot now, the one that's standing, to give yourself that idea of lengthening? That's it. And then you release, set the head down, and then you're ready to do another one. So it's a slow kind of idea for us. And your both hands are pulling the head in midline. It's as if, you know, someone were guiding you out, right? It's sort of, maybe sort of like birth, who knows? We remember that, although our heads probably weren't in midline going through the canal for sure. It's actually not like birth at all. Because if your baby comes from the top of the baby's head, it's too big. We birth from crown, and that's not what we're doing. So it's not like birth at all. Go ahead and switch your legs. It was a good thought. Just didn't fly. Where do you want to put that right foot for the best push, right? So we're no longer really turning the, we're turning the pelvis a little bit, but we're just trying to give that upward thrust, right? So it's not really about like rolling the pelvis at this point, right? Lengthening the head, that's it. That's it. Yes, and lift the head a little bit so you can pull the hair. Good. Go back to 2 feet. That's it, and the head will lift. You find the trajectory. Good. Good. Rest for a moment. Leave your knees up. Just let go of your hair. And do just a little bit of that push thrust through the feet, but oscillate yourself. So go a little bit fast, like, you know, push, release, push, release, push, release, push, release, whatever. Just and let your body just go like loose and right? Yeah, just, you know, and if that's not the rhythm you like, you rest and you find a rhythm you like. Kind of sloshy, easy. Feel your spine skewering up and down through your skin. Feel the shoulder blades as you do that. Uh-huh. Good. Uh-huh. Little oscillation. So that's a side to side. Let's do an oscillation up and down, which is a little bit more this way. Boop, 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 that way. Uh-huh. So rest if you need to. So we can just push symmetrically like that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Was paying attention.
That's all right. Yeah. Release your neck. Release your jaw. Ba, 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 ba. Good. Wonderful. Someone's doing it with their arms overhead. That's a nice variation because it gets the shoulder blades in a different position. Yeah, day at the beach. Just need some music. Could do this all the time, right? Okay. Rest when you need to. There's a colleague of Moshe's, her name is Ruthie Alon. She has probably the best book, I think, written for the lay person about Feldenkrais. It's called Mindful Spontaneity. And it's full of little doodads to do. You know, it's first of all, it's really well written. And then it's full of these little tiny things you can do. And she has oscillations all throughout that book. She's like the oscillation queen. But it does. There is something about oscillatory motion in this manner that speaks to this question of core use, stability, upright, gravitational organization. It's a very primary concept. Okay, rest everyone. Please check in with your contact now, because it's largely different if you look, if you feel. We'll use the floor again to see where are you more ironed into the floor or released into the floor. Mm-hmm. So another colleague, I'm full of stories while you rest, his name's Marty Weiner. He gave a keynote address one time. And in it, I remember one thing, or maybe it was a workshop he did at that conference. He said, how does the fish know it's in water? Well, it's a good question, right? Take it out of water, it's going to die, right? So how is it ever going to know it's in water? How does it understand that it's in water? And in a way, how do we understand our nuances? And this is a very difficult lesson in that last movement. These are very strange movements, but in a way, it's through these odd processes that we have a chance to find out our own nuances and discover, like being a fish, discovering the water. You have to go through these odd contortions and all that, and then to kind of discover it, you need sort of a process. Otherwise, it remains very elusive, these diagonals, this idea of being upright. So we're going to continue for the next 3 lessons to work this idea. For right now, you're done, so you just feel your contact. Feel what's different, and then go ahead and bring yourself upright and just feel yourself upright. And I'm trusting that you'll know how to scan yourself upright, that you'll still stay in, ooh, what is different? Now I'm over my feet. Step off your mat so you're on the floor. You know, what's different about my carriage? If someone saw me now, what is my mood? How am I? You know, where's my attention drawn to? Am I shorter? Am I taller? Am I more solid? Do I walk differently? Is my chest different? Whatever. I'm just giving it free rein here. But surely something's changed for you identifying some nuances within this process. So it's worthwhile to hook your mind around what that change is, because it can be fleeting if you don't. So what's different? Even if it's something little, what's different? So who wants to say what's different? Yeah? I won't say your names, don't worry. What's different? Someone's longer.
More connected.
More connected somehow. Anyone else? What's different?
I feel it more when I'm flat, though.
More when you're flat, harder and upright. It's more distracting and upright. Mm-hmm. Chest.
Sternum is more mobilized or something.
Sternum. Sternum's more mobilized. Something different in the sternum. Okay. Good enough. Thank you, everyone. See you next week.